All episodes of It's Great Business reflect the views and opinions of Intracoastal Marketing and Strategy Group and its guests, and do not reflect the official policy or guidance of employers or government entities.
You're listening to It's Great Business, sponsored by Intracoastal Marketing and Strategy Group, where great business equals great people.
Welcome to another episode of It's Great Business, and I'm Janice Berg-Levy. Today, I have with me Judith Harrison Warner, but I like to call her Judy. Judy writes as Judy Warner. She is a journalist and project manager who specializes in coverage of corporate governance issues and the imperative work of board of directors. Judy has an impressive and highly impactful career to date, which includes serving as the New England Bureau Chief for Adweek. She was also the chief of directorship magazine for the National Association for Corporate Directors, which is an organization, in fact, that focuses on corporate governance for board directors and boards. Today, she is principal of ComAv, an independent editorial management and advisory firm, which, by the way, she established in 2000 after her 15 years at Adweek magazine. Later, after she left NACD, she relaunched the company around 2022 and now is highly successful working with many, many companies that I am sure we will hear about in terms of extending her great experience and knowledge and certainly her wonderful content writing skills to help so many other businesses today. Welcome, Judy. I'm really, really excited to get going on this. I know you and I have chatted prior, and obviously, like so many folks, our paths have crossed. So welcome to It's Great Business.
Janice, thank you for inviting me.
My pleasure. So Judy, I like to get right into it. I certainly have your resume. Our listeners have heard about that. And as we know, this is definitely about career journeys of which you have certainly had personal experience. So tell me a little bit about really who you are, what you believe your purpose is, and what are you really passionate about?
Well, let me just start by saying, Janice, I've learned a lot about myself over the last 3 years, both because of the pandemic and the social isolation, but also in thinking about restarting ComAv this year, the awesome power of storytelling. So if you ask me what I'm passionate about, I do know that given a choice between doing anything at all, I will either be reading or writing. And I really have to say that I'm blessed. I'm married to same guy for 37 years, and I'm still passionate about him. And certainly our two daughters who are grown and independent off the Warner family payroll. And if anything, my love for learning, reading, meeting new people, and just sharing stories is my life's work.
Wow. So, you know, everyone goes, oh, I want to be a journalist. As you know, I started out as a journalism major at Maryland and kind of moved my way through the world of marketing and public relations, et cetera. Tell me, what was your major in school and kind of what was that journey like as getting into, I mean, my God, becoming so high up in Adweek as well as the work that you did for the association?
I love telling this story. I went screaming from the dairy farm that I grew up on in Southern Vermont at age 18. I went to Northeastern, and one of the best decisions I ever made after the co-op department turned me down for the possibility of interviewing for the Boston Globe, for an editorial assistant position at the Boston Globe. So not to be denied, I decided to call the Globe's HR director myself and schedule my own interview. And I introduced myself as a Northeastern co-op student, and Adeline Callen invited me in and took me to the newsroom and introduced me to an editor named Dick Powers. And Dick hired me on the spot. And I was all of 19 years old, and I went to work for the Globe as an editorial assistant, first in the wire room, which no longer exists, literally cutting copy, UPI, AP, Reuters. And I moved from the wire room to the transcriber, which was taking dictation from reporters on location. And my first dateline was Three Mile Island, and it was Curtis Wilkie. And Curtis Wilkie is this just unbelievable reporter with a booming Texas accent. And I was also one of the first in the newsroom to learn how to type a story on what was then called a VDT, a video display terminal. So literally the time that I walked into the newsroom, they were taking the typewriters out and moving the VDTs in. And when IT came through and said, who wants to be trained first? I raised my hand. And it was, again, one of those just sort of impulsive decisions that totally worked for me. And I was at the Globe. I worked full-time year-round because I had so many just amazing, they were called Metro editors on the city desk who just looked out for me. And I was putting myself through school. So every once in a while, I would have to take a quarter because Northeastern at the time was a 5-year program. I was a journalism major, by the way. And I would take a quarter off and work full time to catch up on my tuition payment at the bursar's office. So from the Globe, I was there for 6.5 years. And I, when I left, I had written front page stories. I had covered breaking news. I had just a wealth of experience. And I was, you know, still in my early 20s.
Wow. Well, I'm smiling because you're bringing back a lot of my own memories because I interned not at the Boston Globe, but at Atlantic City Press, which is nowhere near the Globe. But the same thing with the wire girl, the copy girl, exactly in those days. Can you imagine saying that today? First of all, we could go on and on about what has happened with newspapers. That's a whole other episode, but yeah, I mean, going to get dinner for people because, you know, it was the night desk, et cetera. Oh, yeah, that was, yeah, that was an interesting time.
But what hasn't changed, and I think that, you know, we have a plethora of storytelling opportunities. You know, we have multiple mediums. You know, we need to be able to conceptualize stories today, not just for print, but for blogs and for podcasts and for video interviews. And, you know, there's a whole sort of circle to storytelling across platforms that I think makes storytelling today all the more important. And because I'm now working with corporate clients who really don't know how to tell stories, they know how to tell stories in white papers. They know how to tell stories in ways that almost remove what makes for a good story.
Right.
And bridging, you know, trying to bridge that gap is kind of where I'm at today, trying to figure out how to reflect the voice of the business that I'm working for, but at the same time, tease out stories that are really interesting. And how best to do that is by tapping into an audience that is not noted for its storytelling capabilities. I mean, boards up until probably about 15 years ago, directors didn't have really a public-facing role. They didn't speak on behalf of the corporation. And so it makes them very reticent to speak to reporters, journalists, people like me, although increasingly, you know, directors are in the spotlight when things go wrong.
Right.
And part of their job really is to be able to articulate the work that they are doing on behalf of the stakeholders they represent.
Right.
I use the word stakeholder because, as you well know, the pendulum has really swung from the importance, singular importance, of companies earning a profit to companies having a larger responsibility to take care of all their stakeholders. And this was certainly one of the enduring lessons of the pandemic. You know, right. The health and well-being of employees is just so much more important today than
the
it was.
The power of the collective voice of many corporations who now today we realize can strongly influence a government's direction, okay, in terms of representing the constituents just as much as government officials. And I think that's really important. But Judy, I want to go back to a comment that you made when you were, you know, at early on, right, getting the job at the Globe, because this is something that's important from a career perspective. And although we're talking about the days, you know, pre-digital, et cetera, I think there's certain fundamentals that haven't changed. And one of them is having the guts, having the, sometimes I call it the chutzpah, to you picked up the phone and you said, no, I'm going to go and see what I can do about it. And I think that, and I know that today, that continues to be extremely important. So, you know, selling yourself, being confident, knowing what you want, granted that can change, but knowing what you want and trying to really push forward on that is essential. Because I hear so many people today who say, well, I sent in a resume, I didn't hear anything. You go into this, you know, vapor of whatever, the digital world, you still need to go figure out the people. You still need to do the networking. You still need to have that touch of the human factor in this. And so I think a lot of people just graduating like to hide behind, you know, the digital format and not realize that you've got to get out from underneath that. So, but thank you for that.
I've learned, I think, really early in life that it was important to get to yes. Right. If I asked my parents if I could do something, typically they would say no. Their first answer was always no. But if I waited a couple of days and rethought, maybe I would ask them again and they would say yes. And that's really the way I've approached my career, is that you have to get to yes. And you don't get to yes if you don't ask. And what's the worst that can happen? They can say no. Right.
Right.
I called Adeline Callan. I was so nervous dialing her phone number. And at the time, you know, it was a direct dial number into her office. I think she did have an assistant who screened the call and put me through. But if I hadn't done that, you know, I think all these years later, my life could have been so different.
That's right.
And even at directorship, I was the managing editor for a number of years, and three different editors were brought in over me. And finally, I said to my superior, why don't you ask me? You know, as managing editor, when there was no editor, I was doing the job anyways.
Mm-hmm.
Why don't you ask me? And this person said, oh, we didn't think you'd be interested.
Oh my gosh.
Right?
Oh my gosh.
So the next day I was named by Ken Daly, the editor of Directorship Magazine.
Yeah.
And that was just about 10 years ago last year. And when I left the NACD, I had put out over 100 issues of this bi-monthly magazine. And in the process, I learned a lot about corporate governance. And, you know, the NACD's mission is to educate directors. So a lot of what I was doing as an editor was to fulfill part of that mission of education through storytelling, through a magazine style of storytelling.
Right. And very, very well read too. Very, I mean, very popular publication.
Well, I have to say, there were lots of days when I just thought, how did I get here? So at Adweek was a feisty, news-oriented weekly publication. And we competed against the New York Times and the Wall Street Journal and the Boston Globe. And at the time, they all had advertising reporters. And we were all competing for the scoop of the week. And it was aggressive and assertive. And I would always say to my team, you know, part of our job is to blow up bridges with people that we spend a great deal of time building trust with, right? Because we will have that sources said story that they won't admit or comment on, and we run it, and then they're BS the next week when they see the headline. And I think, okay, well, we just blew up a relationship. And I am covering advertising in Boston, New England. It's like a small town.
Yeah.
You know, everybody knows everyone else. And if somebody's mad at you, they know that too.
Mm-hmm.
And so a lot of my job, I felt, was rebuilding relationships.
Yeah. Yeah.
And trying to maintain, you know, that trust over a 10-year period.
So it's great. This is a great question then. So when you talk about defining success, it sounds like part of that was, you know, was the relationship piece of it, right?
Absolutely.
Anything else?
You know, I'm going to quote one of my favorite writers, Maya Angelou. And every once in a while, I will listen to her, you know, read a poem or a book that she's written on Audible, or because her voice is just so amazing. But in something she wrote, she defined success as liking yourself, liking what you do, and liking how you do it. And that to me is the essence of who I am and how I think of myself and my career. It's just really important that I like the people that I'm working with, that I like what I'm doing, and that I like how I'm doing it. You know, I don't have, you know, the beauty of going to Directorship Magazine and working for a members association publication was the first rule is don't piss anyone off.
Right.
Don't make anyone mad at us. Give them any reason to maybe cancel their membership. And going into that environment, I realized, oh my gosh, this is when I would have to pinch myself, because being nice was so much nicer than being the antagonistic or the inquiring, you know, reporter looking for that week's headline.
Wow. Okay, well, now we're going to switch to a section we call fun facts. Okay, so this is just a really quick to get to know you a little bit better. So my first question is the person that you admire the most and why?
All right. I've had to think about this a lot. I'm going to say my daughters. I really admire both of my daughters. They're as different as night and day. And I think that's typical when you have two siblings, but I admire them for being able to survive and overcome their childhoods. And I say that in the best way. I was a very distracted mom. I always worked full time. I was always really focused on my career. Oftentimes, you know, I feel like I ignored or overlooked or didn't see some of what was going on in their lives. One of the best decisions I ever made actually was starting my own business when Kelsey was entering middle school, and then her younger sister was still in elementary school. And I didn't realize that I was starting my business at the time to help balance my home life. But at the end of the day, that's really what it was about.
Yeah.
And I was just able to give them more attention. I was able to see their faces when they came home after school. I was able to carpool the soccer team, you know, across town for practices. there was so much that I gained from them. And I look at them now, and they're just this incredible combination of both my husband and I's best qualities.
That's beautiful. What's your favorite city?
Boston.
Okay.
No question.
All right. And favorite food?
Peanut butter and jelly sandwiches.
Oh, okay.
All right. I can eat a PB&J at any time of the day and be completely satisfied.
Okay. Keep it simple. I like it. Mm-hmm. So I have to ask you, because again, you talked about reading and writing. So what is your favorite book?
Okay.
You have just one.
I wish I could say that I had a favorite book. Sometimes I feel like my favorite book is the last book I've read. But recently I discovered a new author to me. Her name is Marianne Wiggins. And she has a new book out now called Properties of Thirst that I'm reading. But in anticipation of the new book, I went back and read one of her earlier novels called Evidence of Things Unseen. And it is extraordinary. It is just extraordinary.
Really nice. Judy, this has been fantastic. If listeners want to reach out to you, what's the best way?
I'm going to make a pitch for LinkedIn. I'm on LinkedIn and through email, which is available on LinkedIn.
Wonderful. And we will share that. Judy, thank you so much. I'm so glad we were able to make this happen. And you are a delight. Thanks, everybody, for listening to It's Great Business, and we will see you next time.
Thanks for listening. If you enjoyed this episode, please subscribe to the podcast and leave a review. Also, check us out on Facebook, LinkedIn, Twitter, and Instagram, and visit us on the web at intracoastalmarketingstrategy.com.